This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Marcus Dupree was once the biggest name in the future of football. Back in the early 1980s in Philadelphia, Mississippi, Mr. Dupree was the most highly recruited high school football player in the country, probably of all time. Willie Morris wrote a bestseller called The Courting of Marcus Dupree. He was a fleet running back who could seem to sense tacklers and evade or shed them like a stealth bomber. People who saw him play said it was like watching Jim Brown play against a bunch of high schoolers.
He had more God-given talent than anybody I ever saw.
Marcus could have been the best that ever was, but he was the guy that never did it.
If he had never gotten hurt, I think he could have been as good as he wanted to be. I mean, he could have been the best.
Those that saw him play know what they saw was greatness. They saw greatness, and they only got to see a little bit of it. And that's what they still talk about today, because they didn't get to see all of it.
The superstar that Marcus Dupree did not become, and the man he is today, are the subject of a new documentary called The Best That Never Was. It will be broadcast Tuesday on ESPN. The filmmaker is Jonathan Hawke. He joins us from New York. Thanks very much for being with us.
Honored to be here, Scott. Thanks.
And also in the studio, we're so pleased to welcome Marcus Dupree. Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Dupree.
Thank you.
Mr. Dupree, seeing films of you play in your high school and 1 year of college career, it really does look as if everybody else is on Jupiter and they're kind of running, everything is very slow and heavy, and you're on Earth and just zipping around them. You look like you're in different universes.
You know, I finally got a chance to really go back and watch some of the high school films, and it did shock me. I'm like, oh, I couldn't believe that was me.
We searched and searched. That was our holy grail, to find this footage. And finally, we found one of the old players on the team who had basically taken the film cans from the coach's office before he graduated and had held on to it for 30 years and had it in his closet. And we finally found him. It was this old 16-millimeter black and white footage, and we looked at it, and it was like, and our hands are shaking, and we threaded up the film and rolled it. And sure enough, he was doing it. Like they said, it was real. And we looked at each other in the cutting room and said, wow, Now we've got a movie. It really happened.
Let's remind people, in a sense, Philadelphia, Mississippi, 1964. The three civil rights workers were so tragically murdered there. It was a dateline of the U.S. civil rights movement.
Yeah, you know, that was part of the mythology of Marcus Dupree, for this young African-American Superman coming out of this town and becoming the touchstone for healing in this town.
So there were reportedly representatives from, 300 colleges who tried to recruit you?
Yes.
In those days, did they, forgive me, but did they offer things like convertibles or something?
Yeah, they did. I can't lie and say they didn't. I think the most I got offered was $250,000 a year. But me and my mom said, you know, Marcus, if it's for you, it's going to come to you, and you don't want to be up under somebody's thumb, and you can go earn your own money.
From high school, you went to play for Coach Barry Switzer at Oklahoma.
Right.
It didn't seem to be a football marriage made in heaven.
Not like I thought it should have been.
He said that he recognized your God-given talent, but also didn't want the other players to feel like somehow he was favoring you.
Right. And I wish he would have told me that. I told a couple of reporters that the other day. With them not telling me that, the lack of communication has caused me 3 Heisman trophies. It's caused me a lot of sadness. And all he had to do was just come to me and say, Marcus, look, we're going to do this, this, this. So just be prepared and don't get upset, because I don't want the other seniors to get upset at me. And we've probably been talking a whole different story right now.
You play in the Fiesta Bowl. You have to leave 3 times. You had a broken finger, an ankle, then a pulled hamstring. You still gain, 239 yards?
Yes, sir.
In that game, Marcus played in 34 out of 69 plays that Oklahoma ran. So that's fewer than half.
All right.
And he still set the all-time Fiesta Bowl rushing record, which still stands 27 years later.
You wound up transferring to University of Southern Mississippi, learned that you'd have to be redshirted, essentially sit on the bench because of NCAA regulations for 2 years, and then you wind up turning pro. You signed with the U.S. Football League, but injury continued to be a problem for you.
It's the same hamstring, the same thing.
There have been times watching footage of Marcus running as a young man, and you think just maybe muscles that big weren't ever meant to move that fast, that just the physics of it was just something that couldn't be sustained, that a 233-pound man to run 9,500, that's just too much.
Could you take a moment and tell us about your little brother, your inspiration?
Me and my mom and my family found out that Reggie wasn't going to be able to walk. He went through a series of about 5 operations on each leg, and so he could eventually try to walk with crutches just to stop his legs from shrinking up and all that stuff. And just growing up, seeing him, you know, sit there and lay in a bed and just the stuff that he couldn't do as an average kid, how much stuff he had to go through. Mm-hmm. And it just wore on me, and I just took it on myself to try to be the best athlete I could and try to just run for me and him and my mom, basically.
So you left the game for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You start working out, and it's amazing. You left professional football with injuries, and you managed to come back and play for the Los Angeles Rams.
I said, well, I don't want to die. I said, what if? What if?
You played a couple seasons for the Rams.
Right. It didn't matter about the money. It didn't matter about starting. I did what I had to do and enjoyed the game. And like I said in the film, this time I took the time to walk out on that field and walk down that tunnel and smell the air, smell everything about playing the game of football, talk to the fans, and enjoy it.
Mr. Dupree, that phrase, God-given talent, I guess you've heard it all of your life. To have that phrase in your life, what's it like when God seems to withdraw that talent?
Well, you know, it really didn't bother me. My grandfather was a minister, and my mom was a church secretary. And so whatever God has in your path, you just got to deal with it and deal with the hands dealt. And that's how I always looked at it. God did give me a lot of talent. I was blessed to have this talent to show people what I could do.
Well, Mr. Dupree, very nice talking to you.
Thank you.
And Jonathan Hawk, thanks very much, too.
Thank you, Scott. I really appreciate it.
Marcus Dupree and Jonathan Hawk in New York. Mr. Hawk's film, The Best Who Never Was, premieres Tuesday on ESPN.